Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today.
I need to say who I am. So I'm Hardy. I'm one of the volunteers in the kindergarten through the fifth grade class. I am so excited to be able to continue this series. I know last week we talked about, Matt was talking about leaning in on the Lord, right? He was giving some skiing analogies. You will not be getting any skiing analogies today, okay? Just let you know that from the jump. Now, sometimes some of you guys in here are thinking, hey, you know, I'm coming in from a New Year's resolutions. I was going to come to church. I gave it last Sunday, I gave it this Sunday, and I don't see Scott. Well, sometimes you gotta wait. It's like that Amazon gift. It's not gonna come now, but when you least expect it, voila, he's gonna show up. So bear with us here today. I'm excited. I'm gonna try my best not to yell and spit on the people in the front. All right? Perfect. So let's do this. Let's just jump right on in. How about those New Year's resolutions? How are we doing? We doing good? Yeah? Yeah? Some of you guys are thinking, New Year's resolutions, man, that was like so 2 weeks ago, bro. I mean, I don't even know what you're talking about. Or maybe you're even thinking, maybe next year, Hardy, I'll try again, right? So let me ask you this. For me, my New Year's resolution, you won't believe what it was. It was so good. Obviously, was past tense. It was so good. I said I wasn't going to talk as much this year. Obviously, that crap didn't work. So, but isn't it weird, though, how reality causes us to really realize our inefficiencies in our lives at times, right? We make these plans, but reality comes into play, and then, oh my goodness, I'm falling short of what I wanted to do. For some of you all in here that have mission boards or vision boards, right, you have those up. The further we get into the year, most of us, not all of us, most of us, we look at that vision board and realize I'm still at step one and it's already June. I'm not getting to the place that I need to get. I feel so inadequate. Many times it causes us to have regret and then we start to sink further and further down to what we may have heard as a younger child or younger adult. See, the purpose of this series of better new beginnings isn't to make you go home every week to have to do the new things we're talking about. All right, last week I was going to work on leaning in on the Lord. Okay, this week I'm going to work on my inadequacies. Next week I'm going to work on my finances. And then the following week I'm going to work on having my relationships with my neighbors. And oh my gosh, I feel so inadequate. I can't do all of this stuff. I'm not accomplishing even the first goal, and now we're on goal number 5. It's frustrating. See, I don't know about you all, but I'll just speak for me. Sometimes I find myself comparing myself to other people as if they are the mirror and they tell me exactly who I am and what I'm supposed to be. I'm going to give you an example. Sometimes I find myself comparing to people that are a little bit taller than me, maybe got a better hairline than I have. Maybe they can speak a little bit better than me. Maybe they can actually grow facial hair better than me. Maybe they can actually preach better than me. Oh, my God, I can't stand Scott Openchain. Oh, he drives me up the wall, right? We find ourselves doing this. And ultimately, when we compare ourselves to other people and what they have and what we don't have, we get a very poor introspection of ourselves. Our pride goes down. Who we are goes down. And then we forget who we are and whose we are, who we belong to. Let me ask you this. You guys, It wasn't that long ago. You remember when the time you used to get in your car and you would drive to your friend's house and you would like walk in the front door, right? And there would be other people there. You remember those days? You would like go in and it's a party. And there were people there and you didn't have to wear a mask, right? You remember those days? And remember when we would go there, first thing we would do, we would kind of compare what they have, what we have. Is our stuff better? You walk in the door. Hey, how's it going, Hardy? Doing pretty good. Wow, you sure have a lot of cats in here, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Oh, wow. What's that smell? Somebody really doesn't know how to cook very good. Mm-hmm. Right? Oh, man, that's a nice couch. On a serious note, man, your kids are so well behaved, so much better than mine. And wow, your spouse, I mean, they're just doing this and doing that. They're so beautiful. We find ourselves comparing causing us to get more and more feelings of inadequacy. See, this type of thinking can destroy us. It can destroy our personal worth and possibly validate what others have said about us in our minds. But don't worry, it doesn't just happen out in the street. It happens here in church, too. We may think of that person who's the super Christian. Don't think of me. Think of somebody else. Okay, think of somebody else. Right? It's that person who's a super Christian, right? You know, the person at Bible study that can always quote the scriptures really fast. And someone who actually knows where the book of Nehemiah is. You're like, my man's over here. He's like, book of Nehemiah? Siri, where is the book of Nehemiah? And is it real? Right? That person. Right? That super Christian. We find ourselves comparing ourselves to them. So the good news is, if you are here today, and if you feel inadequate, welcome to Blue Ridge Church. You are in the right place to be, okay? This is great. So let me just say, on a personal note, okay, I'm excited to be here today, and I struggle with the fact that sometimes I find myself comparing to other people, which takes us right to that learning point number one. We often struggle with inadequacies because of the words of others. That's not groundbreaking. It's really not. But if you realize where you are today, we find ourselves, somebody said I wasn't good enough. Someone said I wasn't tall enough. Someone said I wasn't skinny enough. Someone said I wasn't big enough. Someone said I was too dark. I was too light. My hair wasn't the right kind, right? I look a certain way. I talk a certain way. I dress a certain way. I wish you were never born. Maybe some of the things that we hear in our lives that cause us to doubt where we are. Those internal messages, they may not kill you. Remember that old nursery rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's the way we sung it. And but it's not true. Because the sticks and stones, they break the bones, but the words, they're crushing me. They're causing me not to get to that next step in my life. And I'm struggling with that. Personal example would be... I never thought about being a physician before. Somebody's like, he's a physician? Yeah, so I never thought about being a doctor. I don't ever remember as a kid saying I want to be a doc, but that's what the Lord blessed me to do. So I'm doing that. And I remember when I was in medical school, I used to talk to my dad when he was alive all the time, and he would look at me, and when I call him on the phone, this is before you had FaceTime, so I called him, and you had to remember the numbers because I didn't have a cell phone. So I call him on the phone, and he's like, so you still in medical school, son? That's all right, son. That's all right. So I think about that because so many people told me what I couldn't do, but I had to overcome that. Okay, now this isn't some kind of prosperity gospel I'm going to tell you about. I had to overcome that. Like Chris, he had to overcome a lot of things to have that moment. So, of course, I'm riding high, right? Because I'm in medical school doing my thing. Yeah. Comes around for our first round boards in second year medical school. Time to take my boards. I'm going to handle business because that's how I do it. Right? So I get in there and we take the board exam, and I can hear my dad in the background saying, that's all right, that's all right. He wouldn't say that this time. I bombed it. I did terrible. I failed. Oh my gosh, he's admitting I failed. And here's the problem. I had a lot of success to that point, but I failed. So I immediately began to think of all those people that said I was inadequate, that I had a stutter, that I had some dyslexia, that I couldn't learn, I was a bad test taker. Right? That's why I didn't fail. It was a bad test. No, I didn't know the material the way that I should to reproduce it on a test that already had the answers there. I just marked the wrong bubble. Right? Think about it. Yeah, that's frustrating, right? That's how I cancel the medical students now. Right? I tell the medical students, I was like, look, I don't know why I did so bad. The answer's right there. You just got to find the right bubble and circle it and move on. Right? So for me, everything that everybody said about me, I believe now. It comes back to fruition. It didn't matter the fact that I was a three-time All-Academic American at Virginia Tech. That meant nothing. Because right at that point in time, I am a failure. I am inadequate. I guess I was just smart for a jock. I guess that's what that is, you know? Daily, sometimes we struggle with this. So there's a Bible verse that I like that really helps me when I have these feelings of feeling inadequate. It's in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. It says this, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a lot. That's a lot of Christian speaking in there. You come to me, ye who are yoked and something burdens and all this kind of stuff. Check it out this way. If we understand that we are inadequate without Christ, it makes this make a whole lot of sense about having a yoke that is easy and the burden is light, because we have to rely on someone besides ourselves to know that who we are and that we are adequate in our lives. So I would say something like this. It doesn't matter what you say about me, because Jesus loves me anyway. Jesus loves me anyway. Jesus loves me anyway. I don't care what you say about me. Always trying to break down my self-esteem. And every time you say mean things to me, flashbacks, right? Flashbacks. But we need to understand that. And then it says further here in John chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Now, we've heard this verse before, but I want to read the 17th verse, because to me, it ties it all together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So you may be thinking, sure, I've heard that a bunch of times before, John 3:16. I heard it. But verse 17 tells us, hey, look, we can't save ourselves. We can't be right ourselves. We can't make ourselves righteous by coming up here and volunteering in church and helping at the local homeless shelter and maybe giving some money for someone for Christmas. That's not going to get us in. That's not going to make us have feelings of righteousness, because Christmas was a while ago and we've already started to sink back down into those feelings of inadequacy. So what I want to do today, I want to look at a story in the Bible so we can actually see how to handle those thoughts of inadequacy in our life. And I'm going to do that by talking about the baptism and the desert experience of Jesus Christ. So first, let me paint the picture. A long, long time ago, right? Jesus is coming up to a pool of water where everybody else is getting baptized. Matter of fact, could you imagine being there? I couldn't imagine if I was there. I could imagine if he asked me to baptize him. He's like, hey, look here, Hardy. Let me holler at you for a second. They've been talking about me in the Old Testament over and over and over again that I am going to come and save the world, right? So what I need to do, I need you to dip me down in this water real quick, bring me back up. Now, nothing's going to really happen, but I have to do it because that's what I was told to do. Could you do that for me, Hardy? My response would be like, have you lost your mind? Don't you know my background? Don't you know where I've come from? Don't you know that I am inadequate? Now, it may sound like a silly analogy, but that's what really happened. I wasn't in there, of course. But that's what really happened. In order for Jesus' ministry to be ushered in as the Messiah, he had to get baptized. And he had to have somebody to do it. So once again, a long, long time ago, enters this man named John T. Baptist. Right? You know John T. Baptist, the dude that was always in the wilderness talking about Jesus, right? Eating locusts and wearing all the animal furs and all this stuff. Yeah, that guy, right? John T. Baptist. This is what he says about Jesus in John chapter 1, verses 15. John testified concerning him. He cried out saying, this is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. Leave that on there for a second. What? What does that mean? He who comes after me is going to be before me. What does that mean? He's saying, look, the guy that they've been talking about a long time ago in the Old Testament, he's about to come and do it. He's about to come and baptize people with the Spirit. I'm doing it with water as a semblance of your outward confession that you're going to follow the Lord, but this guy's going to come with the Spirit baptism. He's coming after me. But he was actually before me because they talked about him in the Old Testament. This is some deep stuff. Now, this is someone, John T. Baptist, that was already on fire for the Lord. He probably knew some Bible verses from the Old Testament, right? He was on fire. God had called him to do this, to usher in the Messiah, right? So let's see what happens here in Matthew chapter 3, verse 14. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you come to me? So verse 15 says this, and it's not on there, but verse 15 says, let it be so. This is Jesus' response to what John the Baptist just said. Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus said, okay, I'll do it. Now we read the Bible, and the way I read the Bible, I have a very vivid imagination, and I love pictures and things of that nature. So let me tell you how I translated it in the Abraham Hardy Standard Version. Verse 14, 15. Jesus, T. Christ, I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. So this is what Jesus' response is. Hey, look here, cousin. This is what's about to happen. Y'all don't know they're related? On the mama side, Mary and Elizabeth, they were cousins. It says it in the Bible. It's in there. So he said, look here, cousin. He says, I need you to baptize me so I can get ushered in as the Messiah, but I'm looking around. I see no one greater than you, cuz. Can you do it for me? Can you baptize me? Can you do this? Because it needs to happen to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, someone who is sinless, okay, sinless, doesn't have to do it, but he has to do it because he has to follow what God has told him to do. So he's going to do it in obedience. And plus, they had the same middle initial. Jesus T. Christ, John the Christ, or Jesus the Christ, John the Baptist. Okay, just making sure. I'm putting it all together now. All right? So John thought he was inadequate. Now, that takes us to learning point number two. It says, I am inadequate alone, but through Christ I am made righteous. If we took out righteous and said, I am made right. I am made acceptable. I am approved now. Not by you, but by God. I am made righteous because of Christ. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So as we make this transition from the baptism, okay, feeling inadequate, John the Baptist was on fire for God, still feeling inadequate. He had to do this task. Now we're going to transition to that desert experience of Jesus in the wilderness. Why am I doing this transition? You see, there's no temptation that isn't common to mankind. It says right there, Paul says it in the Bible, he's letting us know, what you're going through right now, which seems like this is the most challenging thing, it's going to break me. This is going to destroy me. This is going to draw me away from God. On the contrary, it will draw you closer to God as you go through the struggles that you go through. Once again, reflecting back to when I was in school, when I thought everybody passed it and nobody fails their board exams because they're already in medical school. Maybe it's just me. I'm so embarrassed. I couldn't tell anyone. And then now I get a chance to talk to students over and over that go through the same thing, wanting to drop out, wanting to quit because of what the test results say, opposed to bearing down and focusing and pushing through so they can have that aha moment like on The Pursuit of Happiness. So Jesus, now in the wilderness, he just got baptized. Jesus is like, that's my boy. Let's go to the desert and you're going to be tempted by Satan. So now he's in the desert, he's tempted. He hasn't eaten, he hasn't drank anything, he's broken, he's beaten, he's wounded, he's tired, he's weak, he's vulnerable. Does that sound like us? Doesn't it seem like Satan always shows up when things are at the worst? Like right after you get in an argument with your significant other, somebody else pops on your Facebook from high school that was a good friend of yours back in the day? Just what a coincidence. Or maybe when you're feeling depressed and down, it happens to be the time that someone shows up and brings over some beer for you to handle it, drink your sorrows away. Or maybe you're trying to quit smoking, but it seems like everybody around you is smoking, and then you can't. It's like, I'm trying to do this, Lord. What is going on? Right? We're beaten and we're broken at that time. Satan says to Jesus, And we're going to get to this verse that's on your screen here in a second. But Satan says to Jesus, says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3b, it says, "If you are the Son of God, then tell those stones to become bread." So Jesus in the wilderness, the first temptation, tell those stones to become bread. Satan likes to prey on us, especially when we're weak. Yes, Jesus is the lamb, he's the lion, but we all have a breaking point. So maybe your breaking point's not my breaking point. Maybe your breaking point's not pornography, but maybe your breaking point is your search for money that's causing you to be away from your family all the time, and you're wondering why no one responds to you when you come home. Maybe one of your problems is maybe you're on Etsy or Facebook or what, something like that, and your kids are yearning for your attention. Yeah? Real life stuff, right? But that may be something that's tempting you, pulling you away from what you should be doing. I'm not going to talk about football because that's sacred. That's important, all right? But that could definitely draw you away as well. Learning point number 3 says this. We can block the attempts of Satan by knowing and understanding the Word of God. Not just knowing it. So we come to church on Sundays. Some of us go Saturdays. Some of us do it Wednesdays. All right, some of this recorder may be heard Sunday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning just so somebody can get caught up for the next Sunday, right? That's where we go when we hear it. Now we got to put it into action. See, Matthew chapter 4 says this. Jesus answered Satan when he told him about turning the stone into bread. Jesus says this, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word of God that comes out of his mouth. I like this. He says, it's written, Satan. This is how it's going down. It is written. God says this. The words have power. Jesus' words have power in the midst of him being tempted. So that didn't work. So he tries again. If we look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, second temptation from the devil. It says, if you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. This is when it gets deep. Watch this part. He says, for it is written, we've heard that before, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Satan is using Jesus' words right back at him. Because Jesus just said, okay, in the first temptation, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, Satan. Poof, be gone. Leave me alone. That's our first temptation, right? Get out of here, Satan. I'm being faithful to this person this time. I'm not going to mess up like I did last time. Okay, I'll come at you again. And he came at Jesus again. He says, isn't it written, Jesus? Because Satan knows scripture too. He says, isn't it written that God's going to protect you and save you? Hey, go ahead, throw yourself down. Show your power now. Learning point number 4. Satan may use our strength to distract us from God. That's the hard part. Just when you think you're doing everything right, you find yourself getting pulled away. Using your strengths against you. We have to be really careful with this one. Why are you spending time with that group of individuals? They don't speak English well, or they're too heavy, or they smoke all the time, or they drink, or they say cuss words. Why are you following them? You're supposed to be a person of God. God even told the people in Israel, he said, don't hang out with the Gentiles. That's what it says in the Bible, right? So we have someone who's using what we know against us, trying to turn those words, flip those words, letting politics decide where we're going to walk in our faith. That's deep stuff. We have to be careful of those that are saying false messages. Satan takes Jesus straight to the church house. He says he took him to the church and he said, throw yourself down. He took him to a place that Jesus was familiar with. And he used words that Jesus knew to try to get him to stumble. Now, Jesus says, it's written, do not put the Lord God to the test. He didn't say Satan. He didn't even acknowledge him. He said, look, it's written. I'm not putting God to the test. I'm not going to do that. Due to our inadequacies, though, sometimes it doesn't take 40 days fasting for us to break down. It may be 10 minutes. It may be skipping breakfast. It may be on the way to work, and next thing you know, we've broken down and we're back to the old ways of doing things. So in two temptations, we see how Satan's trying to go after Jesus. In the same way that Satan tries to go after us, as we're trying to be better in 2021. So when I get a chance to come up here and speak, this is a time where I'm extremely vulnerable. Well, let me stop fronting. After I text Scott like 15 times, and then I call him and ask him if I can come up here and talk, but he still won't respond back to me. So I showed up at his house one time. I mean, I wasn't on his property, though. I was on the sidewalk, right? That's legal. Then I was like, hey, Scott, when are you going to let me come up and speak again? Because I want to talk about Jesus and everything. So he finally said, okay, right? So now when I get up here, right, it takes a lot. I'm working in the clinic. I'm working with the med students. I worked in the urgent care last night, right? It takes a lot. So I'm feeling myself. Like, wow, I'm Christian of the year. Yeah, doing all this stuff for God. But here's the cool thing. God loves you the same as he loves me. And it doesn't matter if you ever get up here. Because he said he gave his only begotten son, not to condemn it, but to save it. So this is helpful. But what you're doing is just as important as what I'm doing. And that's hard to understand because that's God's love, not our personal human love. Satan sometimes is going to work, like I said, trying to go after our weaknesses, to draw us in so that we feel like we're inadequate, so that we know or feel as if we're not good enough, right? Then we find ourselves doing things that we probably shouldn't be doing, right? See, our strength is the fact we got a really good job. Our strength is the fact that maybe the Lord's blessed us with some decent looks. You know, I'm a six, right? I'm a strong six, right? So that's good, right? So I'm okay. And then when you get to work, you find yourself at the coffee machine the same time every day wearing your nice shirt because you know the person who's an eight's coming in. But meanwhile, you got a family at home. Subtle things. Satan may use those weaknesses or your strengths, that being your job and your six scale and your looks, right? To put you in situations that maybe you shouldn't be, right? Now, we had to spend a lot more time thinking that, remember those bracelets back in the day? Tim Tebow used to wear them all the time. The WWJD, right? What would James do? Remember those bracelets? Yeah. I like it. Some people that are familiar with the Bible, they're laughing because they're like, that was Jesus' brother was James, right? That was his brother, man. That wasn't Jesus, right? Yeah, you're like, okay, yeah. It's what would Jesus do? What if his bracelet, like, what would James do? Michael Jr., he's one of my favorite comedians. He does a whole skit on that. It's hilarious, right? It is hilarious. Because you imagine Jesus is turning water into wine at the party. If Jesus is late to the party, now James has got to do something, right? What's he going to do? He's like, I'll put some ice in it, make it really cold in the name of the Lord, right? Poor James, poor guy. Anyway, I digress. Think about 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. We've heard this before. My grace is made sufficient in your weaknesses. Not mine, but God's, right? We've heard that before. But it's so important that we understand the verses that come before because it puts it into perspective. You see, it may have sounded like I was boasting a little bit earlier, you know, work here and do this and work in the urgent care and this and that. You may be like, well, I got five kids I'm raising. I'm a single mom. Just as important. You may say, well, we're married. We don't have a kid, but we really want to have kids. And I'm working down at the local health, at the health department. Just as important. See, it says this in chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. It says, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking of the truth. So everything I said was true. I did all those things this week. Okay, pat myself on the back. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, because these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded the Lord to take it away from me, but he didn't. Then it talks about my grace is sufficient. We all got flaws. Doesn't matter how good it looks on the outside, how nice it smells on the outside. We all got flaws. All of us. Believer or non-believer, we have these flaws. There's only one perfect person, and that's the one who's in the desert. So let's go to that third temptation. Jesus in the desert here. Talked about the bread and the stone, throwing yourself down. Now Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 9, it says, again the devil took him up to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdom of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down to me and worship me. Learning point number 5. Possessions can make us happy, but joy and contentment come from God. My dad used to make me laugh. He said a whole lot of funny things. One of the things, like, he said, money won't make you happy, but I sure like to give it a shot. Yeah? And I was like, it may bring you a little bit of happiness, but it's not going to bring you joy and contentment. As I mentioned to you before at the very beginning, we talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there is no temptation that's out there that Jesus himself hasn't demonstrated right here for us in this desert experience. I wanted to make sure that we understand that we can change the views how we see ourselves in the mirror, how we see ourselves as a parent, how we see ourselves as a boyfriend or a girlfriend or as a colleague or a coworker, right? We can see ourselves differently. But this last piece is going to show you how God sees us. Not how you see us, but how God sees us, every one of us. You remember when I was talking about John T. Baptist? I was messing around, John the Baptist, of course, right? When he said, Jesus, you know, I can't baptize you, Jesus, because you remember, you're Jesus and I'm not. So I can't do that. And Jesus said, yeah, you're the perfect person for this task. Perfect. Couldn't find anyone better. This is what Jesus says about John the Baptist, even though John thought he was inadequate. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. Truly I tell you, among those born of a woman, there has none risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Let's leave that on there for a second. If you're feeling down about yourself, if you're feeling like you're inadequate, this verse, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Jesus just said, John the Baptist, you are the spiritual guy I know. Oh, yeah, somebody was like, whoa, the most spiritual guy I know. You are amazing. Anyone born of a woman, you are the bomb. Yet, whoever is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's you. That's you. That's you, 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 you. God loves us all, say. So if Jesus can say that about John the Baptist, he's saying that about you. The least in the kingdom of heaven. That's the most encouraging thing that I've heard in a long time. That verse, Matthew 11:11, is something that you should keep in your heart when you're feeling like you're not good enough because you just got furloughed. When you're feeling like you're not good enough when you can't fit the jeans that you really love. When you're feeling like you're not good enough because someone says that your cooking is not really good, usually coming from your kids. When you're feeling like you're not good enough when you're going on your second marriage, your third marriage, your fourth marriage. When you're feeling like you're not good enough because you finally can't quit smoking, you want to, but you can't stop. When you're feeling like you're not good enough because your cookies on your computer would be really inappropriate for somebody else to go through and scroll. The greatest of born of a woman, but yet, you and you, if you commit and love Jesus, you can be accepted and you will be made righteous. Here's the cool part. John the Baptist was baptizing with water. Jesus came now baptizing with the Spirit. So now we as believers, though that commit to themselves as an outward confession of faith, saying, I am going to follow Jesus, we get baptized. We are given the Holy Spirit to have with us all day, every day. We're like a glass of milk. So this is how this works. I told you I was going to show you how it works. This is how it works, how we don't have to feel inadequate any longer. You see, we're a glass of milk, all of us. We get baptized. For those believers in here, you get baptized, or you wanted to get baptized, now we're given that Holy Spirit. See, that Holy Spirit sits in us, kind of like chocolate milk. So you put the chocolate syrup in there, but if you drink the milk, it still stays the same. How do you change it? You got to stir it up a little bit. See, once you stir up the Spirit in your life just a little bit, you start seeing the remnants of that Jesus in your life. And that Spirit now being filled up is going to let you know that you ain't inadequate. Because you got Jesus in your life. You've accepted the fact that you have the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you got it stirred up. So when we come to church and we hear it, now we got to go forth and put it in our lives. And I'm not talking about you going to church talking about, I love Jesus. No, that's kind of creepy and weird a little bit. But you can do it in your actions. You can do it in the way, let's make it easy. Let's start in the way that you treat your family. Sometimes we're the most rude to our family. I'll raise my hand to that one sometimes. Maybe we can start with our family. Then we take it to our friends. Then we may take it to that colleague. Yeah, that's right. I'm not inadequate. I deserve a better job than this. I'm leaving. Well, maybe God wants you to stay and change the environment of that job. I liked him until he said that mess. I'm not listening to that, right? I want to encourage you this. We're hearing about Jesus. We're hearing about the Spirit. Maybe this is your time. Maybe you say, you know what? I'm ready to make that next step. Not a resolution, but a life-changing event that I'm going to dedicate my life to Jesus. I don't know all the scriptures. I can't remember what's in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But what I do know is when I try to change it on my own, I realize that I'm inadequate. I would say this. Knowing that you are inadequate is not as bad as thinking you are inadequate. Because that thought of being inadequate each and every moment wears you down. But knowing that you're inadequate unless you have Jesus in your life to help you go through this life, the struggles, it's going to wear you down. So we can have that moment like we saw in the video with Chris. Every day, this is contentment and joy for Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that you, in the flesh, as Jesus, came down to this earth and had the perfect example for us to follow. All the temptations that Jesus had to go through, all the struggles that Jesus had to go through going through that desert experience, he overcame them because he immediately came to you and said, "For it is written, for it is written, for it is written." That's all we need when we're going through these temptations. It doesn't mean that it's going to be easy. Like the video said, it won't be easy, but it will be worth it. And the best part about it is it's free. We don't have to get up here and speak at church. We don't have to volunteer in the kids' ministry. We just have to be ourselves and realize that without Jesus, this life doesn't have a whole lot to offer. And there's going to be a lot of bumps in the way when you come and follow Christ. You're still going to have those temptations, but you're going to know how to encourage others. You're going to know how to grow in your faith. And all we have to say is, Jesus, I want you in my heart. I want you to come and just take over my life and help me make better decisions. Help me to be a better person so that I can lead others to Christ, because that's the purpose of this whole thing in the first place. Please help everyone get home safely. Please be with those who weren't able to make it, that are going to watch online, that this can touch them in some kind of way. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are made adequate, we are made righteous through the death of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And all these things we ask in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen. Now, for you, if you made that commitment, fantastic. We have a connection card that can get the next right steps that you need to do in your ministry, and your life, and your journey as a believer in Christ. All right? Fill that out so we can get you some materials to you, so that way you can help you on this journey and process. If you are a member or a regular attender of the church, you know, you can give online or even in the black boxes in the back. Hey, we at Blue Ridge Church, We appreciate you for coming. We thank you for following and wearing your mask. We thank Blue Ridge Church for opening to the community to give vaccines. And that's amazing for the community. Awesome. You guys be blessed. And don't worry, Scott will be back next week. God bless. Take care.